There's the school bell for the Warren County Radio Bible School. So get your Bible and come to class. That means to come sit by your radio. Turn it up. Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 28, 16 through 20. And we're going to continue a lesson that we began a couple of class periods ago about how Christians are called to be missionaries. And this is an appropriate text. This is the text that is often called the Great Commission. This text begins how they had met with Jesus in the mount where he had told the mob, and they saw him. This is one of those appearances of Jesus. And we've been reviewing the appearances of Jesus as a part of this lesson. And we'll do that again rapidly and then proceed on with this Sunday school lesson as we continue with this class. This is a Sunday school lesson that was written by E.A. Elam for the Sundays of November 25th, 1923. Now, while you're turning to those last few verses in the book of Matthew, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, in looking at these appearances of Jesus, it is difficult to count them because sometimes it looks like the account of appearances given by one and then by another, and it may be two different appearances. It may be the same appearance told at different times, but we do read of about 10, 11, or 12 appearances of Jesus. We read that he met first with Mary Magdalene in Mark chapter 16 in verse 9. And then we read with how he met again with Mary, and another Mary was there in Matthew 28, 9 through 10. And then later that day he met with Peter alone, Luke chapter 24 and verse 34. And then later that day again, he walked with two going to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24, 13 through 35. Then we met with the apostles in Jerusalem, but Thomas was absent at that meeting in John 20, 19 through 24. But then later, 8 days later, he met with Thomas in John 20, 26 through 29 with the other apostles. And then he met with them on the Sea of Tiberias in John chapter 21. And then he met with his apostles on the Mount, as we're reading in this text. That may have been the time that he met with 500 brethren at once, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 6. And then we read that in 1 Corinthians 15, 7, that he also met with his brother, James. But then we read that he met with all the apostles at Jerusalem and all Mount Sinai when he ascended into heaven. We read about this in Luke 24, verses 49 through 53. And behold, I send forth the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city till ye be clothed with power from on high. And he led them out until they were over against Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. Now, depending on how you count them, that is 9 or 10 or maybe 11 appearances of Christ. And these appearances are with the infallible proofs that accompany them. For they could see the print of the nails in his hands, and the hole in his side, and the bread that he brake, and the fish that he bake. And they ate with him, and he was really there, because all these things accompanying him were real, and there were multiple witnesses. Perhaps we could add to this other appearance of Jesus, which, depending on how you count, may be the 12th appearance, because Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 8, "Last of all, as to the child untimely born, he appeared to me also." And we read several accounts of this from Paul on how that Jesus appeared to him with a great light when he was on his road to Damascus. And Saul, who his name was called at that time, seeing the light and knowing it was the Lord, he believed and went on into Damascus, and he was miserable. For Jesus had said, "Thou persecutest me." But then he was relieved of his misery when he was relieved of his sin after Ananias came to him and said, "Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And then emerging from those waters of baptism, he began to preach that this Jesus, whom he had persecuted, was indeed the Christ. We read in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, that Jesus came to them, now this is to his 11, and spake unto them, saying, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth." What else Jesus may have said on this important occasion has not been recorded, but for the salvation of all men, this much, and therefore all that is necessary to have been recorded, has been recorded. All authority means that Jesus has the ability to teach, the power to save, and the right to rule. After Jesus had willingly suffered death, God raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, above all power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. This passage and others show what is meant by the term all authority. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He alone has the right to speak concerning the salvation of the human race. Not even angels have this right. Hence Paul says that if an angel from heaven should preach unto you any gospel other than that which we have preached unto you, let him be anathema. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8. No power or authority on earth is the head of the church of Christ. Christ is the head over all things to the church. Ephesians 1:22. Hence, if any man preach any other gospel, he'll be accursed. Galatians 1 and verse 9. Christ's everlasting gospel must remain unchanged and can be in no way modified to fit the culture or to fit the whims of any man. Hath been given. Those words show that Jesus derived this authority from God. Philippians 2, verses 6 through 11, shows when and why God so highly exalted Christ. We read in Philippians 2, 6 through 11, "Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted it not being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and being made in the likeness of men, he found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Wherefore also God highly exalted him, and gave unto him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 28 show that this authority is held under God, and that finally Jesus will deliver the kingdom or his rule up to the Father. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 through 28 reads, "But now hath Christ been raised from the dead, the first fruits of them that are asleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be abolished is death. For he put all things in subjection under his feet. But when he said all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he is accepted for whom did subject all things unto him. And when all things have been subjected unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subjected to him that did subject all things unto him, that God may be all in all." Having all authority, Jesus says, "Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel." Go. Because of this authority, and in virtue of it, Jesus issued this commandment to go. He is the only one who could issue it, the only one who could tell what sinners must do in order to be saved, and how the citizens of his kingdom must live. Go means an aggressive work. The apostles and early disciples under this commission preached the gospel throughout the world in 25 or 30 years after it was issued, because they obeyed the first word in it, go. If all the disciples in this world today would thus obey the command to go, the question of how to do missionary work would soon be settled, and the work would soon be done. Go, Jesus said, not send is the command. Go to the people, and not simply invite the masses to come at stated times to certain places to hear the gospel. Go everywhere. Preaching the word is the divine order. Go, not simply pay someone to go in your stead. You cannot serve by God at proxy or save men by machinery. Personal work is the great need of the hour. The church is the pillar and the support of truth, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, and God's people are the church, and they must go. I have read that in the original language, in the Greek, the import of this word is go, meaning as you are going. You see, we're all going. We're going about our daily lives. We're going to the grocery, into the bank, into the gas station. We're going to church, hopefully. We're going to ball games, and we're going to school. And we're going about living our lives in the marketplaces and in the villages and in all the places where we are. And wherever we go, as we are going, we are to make disciples of all nations. All of us are going. All of us are not making disciples, but we should be, and we can be, if we will exemplify the truth that is taught by the gospel, and if we will learn it and keep our Bibles handy with us and let others know that we're here to help them and to teach them, and we want them to learn. As ye are going, make disciples of all the nations, that is, by teaching them of Jesus and persuading them to be baptized into Christ and to become one of his followers. Baptizing them, Jesus said. They taught those willing to follow Jesus, as it is seen in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. Then they that received the word were baptized.